Good morning. Today is Monday, August the 28th. Joining us this morning from Security National, Mr. Tim Callison. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Tired. I think this fire thing is just starting to, it's, I mean, I can't complain. I mean, they're, the other guys are having to live it. We're just having to, you know, we're on the outside of it. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, but it's, and I feel, you know, for the guys and gals in Houston, too. You know, it'd be very nice if they had a mountain so it could drain.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what getting 5 feet of rain is like.
No, I don't know if we've ever had 5 feet here. Well, maybe three.
Over the year. Yeah. But not in, you know, a weekend kind of thing. Yeah. It just is, it's mind-boggling sometimes, you know, what's out there. Our quote this morning is an unidentified, so I guess that would mean that they were not willing to stand behind the quote. I don't know. It's a pretty cool quote. Most of us know how to say nothing. Few of us know when.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah, by whoever you were whenever you said it. Yeah. Boy, oh boy. So what's new? What's news in your part of the woods?
Well, as far as our company goes, things are going very well. You know, we've got quite a few projects in play, if you would, that we're quite excited about. Actually,
anything we
nothing
talk
I
about?
Can talk about.
Oh, good. Are they here in our neighborhood, or these are just throughout?
No,
the
these
country?
Are these are here in Eureka. We are. Growth is coming, and you know, I think that, you know, it's a positive. It's a positive. You know, that's one thing that, you know, Rob's always doing is looking to improve Eureka, you know, at multiple levels.
Now, I know in the past he's talked about some developing, you know, not warehouses, but incubators, I guess would be tech incubators in our area. Is that on the timeline that you guys were hoping for? I don't know if those were one of the things you were
now that,
touching on.
Well, since you said it and I didn't, that is...
this was in springtime, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah. That is part of one of the projects we are looking at incorporating. He likes entrepreneurship, and that will be part of one of the projects we are working on with some... you know, basically it'll be industrial space, maybe a maker's lab. We're not hard on it yet.
Maker of what?
Well, it's called a maker. Yeah, yeah, right. Maker's lab. You know, it'd be kind of like, you know, let's say active hobbyists, whatnot, that don't have access to CNC machines, you know, some of the large tools to make things. Let's call it a 3D printer, however, but it's where you can turn around and you can go.
Like a manufacturing.
Exactly. So you bring your idea here, stuff, yeah. You pay a little fee, you get to do what you want to do, and
kind of like the food incubator concept.
But with industrial.
A commercial kitchen, but a different arena.
Yep.
Is there the infrastructure here, Tim? Last month when Rob was on, we were talking a little bit about infrastructure and some of the challenges we have in the area, and that was before the Pan Air announcement,
right.
Which I'm surprised how little ripple that has caused in the area, or consternation. I would have thought more.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Once again, I'm wrong. Okay, fine. I can live with it. I'll buck up. I'll handle that one. But the infrastructure with housing, infrastructure with the roads being maintained, the infrastructure with the fiber optics being not only automatically redundant, but with enough capacity to be able to grow the area. Are those elements things that are in place, or are those things that are challenges that you see we're going to still need to overcome?
Well, I think that you have, I think we all can answer the roads question. We know what type of shape and challenges we have with those, you know, everything from headed to Crescent City to, you know, just the massive work that's being done, both 36, 101.
I'm thinking,
you
know, inside the city.
Oh, well, that's a whole other story. That, you know, those are a mess right now, depending on which.
That's got to impact occupancy levels.
I'm sure.
Numbers of businesses, people wanting to live in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, if you go and thump, 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 you know, we used to say you needed a half track to drive Harrison before the big project. It's getting that way down H&I and 6th and there's a bunch of places that just are tough.
Well, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if you start seeing four-wheel drives only, you know, for some of these streets. But as far as infrastructure goes, I think that, moving on to, let's say, the redundancy of internet, redundancy of some of those other things, I think they're coming. I believe, and I'm talking a little bit out of my knowledge base here, but I believe we have dual redundancy here. I don't know if we have that triple redundancy that... that you spoke of.
What is the minimum threshold that businesses need?
Well, I think if you want a clean industry, I think a lot of them are need that triple redundancy. Let's take if you're looking for, you know, a server center. You know, it's really funny. Amazon has portable units; they'll just bring them in. You know, but we also have the weather for something like that. Also, cooling is their biggest issue. We can do passive through the ground. Let's take an average of 65 degrees all year round here. I mean, you know, there's a lot of benefits, but we don't have, I don't believe we have that, triple redundancy.
If you had, and I'm just throwing a number, let's say $5 billion to make the area more viable, would it be infrastructure you'd throw the money at?
All of it?
All of it. Whatever area, it's all of it.
Well, I think that's always been our problem here. It's the Redwood Curtain. Yeah, you bet. I think that, that's a large number, but yes.
Well, yeah, I can dream big. It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long. Brought to you on KINS, in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tim Callison from Security National. Tim, I know this is probably not in your arena that much, but can we talk anything about the balloon track? Or is that one of those things that we should just be kind of holding our breath and waiting to see something?
No, we can talk about it.
I've been anxious, as a bunch of folks have, for a couple years, you know, since you guys put up the cyclone fences. Finally. Now it's kind of like the little train that might instead of could. Is there any progress there? I know at one point there was a lot of excitement, and then the economy turned, and that caused some challenges. Mm-hmm. And then you got the environmental stuff, you got the buildings, you got the rolling stuff, all stuff that was there. The externals have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be any traction with that, do you think, by the end of the decade?
Oh, I believe very much so. We right now, I think it's not as simplistic as just that. You know, there's easements that go through these pieces of property that are owned by the NCRA or the North Coast Railroad Association. There's a lot of levels of things that have to go, you know, you have to go through and negotiate through to be able to get to that end.
Can you do it a little bit at a time, or is this, it wouldn't make any sense, it wouldn't pencil out, you just got to do when it is, the whole thing is, and let's go.
I think that's the approach we're at right now. We are taking, let's call it a bite out of the apple, if you would. Starting off, probably the first piece you'll see any movement on will be that east piece. And
Now realize this is Humboldt Bay, and I still don't know what's north, south, east, or west.
If you're facing north, you're standing on Commercial Street, right in front of Pacific Choice.
Okay.
So that would be Waterfront Drive. And
towards the bay. I'm
towards
looking
the bay.
Towards the bay.
And
okay.
Then you turn right and look east. That piece, the piece that the trains used to be on.
Right. In the building that's there that's causing the fire department so much.
That's right. And that is the North Coast Railroad Association's building.
So that side of Commercial, is that off?
No, that's the
or
side.
Or is that the one that's going to happen first?
That's the one we're working on and excited about right now. So, there's good movement. We also have given the city easements to put in the new trail. I'm down there weekendly.
Weekendly?
Yeah, if that's even
that's
a word.
That's kind of cool. That word.
And also, just seeing the amount of people that are at, using it. Once it's all fenced in, landscaped and whatnot, I think it's going to be a great asset to our downtown area, especially that first second.
You say landscaped.
Yes, that
considering
is,
the neighborhood and how
yes.
landscape in Eureka seems to be abused regularly.
We're really great at building things, but we're not so great at taking care of them or maintaining them. If you would, within the city's realm.
Well, maintenance isn't sexy. You know that.
Yeah, that's true. But, I do have to give kudos where kudos are. Rob Holman's done an excellent job. There's Miles has been involved. There's a big part of that. Actually, those guys, and they've been great to work with, on the project down there. It's nice to see people that are actually, down there and using it. And I think that will be an intricate part of the whole, the redevelopment, bringing people back down there. One thing that homeless, do not like is people. They don't like a lot of people around, people watching them, people. So the more people, citizens, productive citizens, we get down in that area, I might be going down a slippery slope here, but anyway, it makes them more uncomfortable and unwilling to stay down there.
Do you guys still have the same problem with the vandalism on that property site as has occurred over the years?
Well, I think, if there's vandalism's everywhere in Eureka. I had my passenger side window broken out this last week for less than $2 and change in my center console. So, and that was in the parking lot on between 4th and 5th on D Street. So I think no matter where you're at in this community right now, I think your vandalism's everywhere.
So as you look at the investment on some of these larger property sites that you guys have and penciling things through, do you have to figure in security costs after it's done?
Well,
or would you if given the opportunity?
I think it's going to be a necessity, at least until the paradigm changes down there. Rob spends thousands of dollars every year cleaning those pieces of property. It's amazing, not only just the garbage, the homesteads that are trying to be set up in these places.
The wrappers from the fast food places.
It's from that
litter stuff, yeah.
It's that to, a chair that somebody stole from somebody. It's some bizarre things.
Or the refrigerator drops.
Or the refrigerator.
I've never figured that one out.
Toilets, you name it.
Yeah. So you could kind of set up a household there, huh?
Yeah. It's and has been done.
Oh, my. Some of that kind of stuff has just got to be mind warping. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. And sometimes very nauseating also.
Oh, sure. You got that component of it as well. Yeah. I guess it just is what it is.
For now.
Fair enough. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? through the Decade of Difference initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tim Callison. Now he's going to put on his propeller beanie.
Oh, geez.
So I understand, sir, you're part of the Airport Advisory Committee, huh?
I am. I presently sitting at the chair position. But
missed that one, huh?
Yeah.
That meeting? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It was because I stepped forward. I think it's because everybody else stepped backwards, right?
Yeah, there was a quick IQ test, and guess who lost, bud?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's
what,
for sure.
What is the function of the advisory committee?
We are a committee of – basically, we have most of the airport issues come or anything to do with aviation come across our board. We are to basically filter and make advisory – suggestions to the county supervisors.
So is this like the planning commission?
I don't know if
or do
we're,
you get paid attention to?
Exactly. I'm not so sure either one. Yeah. We basically, you know, offer our advice and our opinion and then they take it from there.
I've never heard that there was the emotional buy into an advice or an advisory statement that was given from your group to the supervisors the way that other committees have. Truly advisory, here's our best guess. If you guys want it, great. If you don't, that's okay too. We'll carry on.
Yeah, you know, there's been some situations where, you know, we can maybe say we really strongly believe that this is the direction that goes. But again, we're not the final say or we're strictly advisory.
Now, there's been a fair amount of discussion over the past couple of years about doing something different, a different model for mm-hmm. Humboldt County's airports. Make sense?
I believe so. You know, we're doing a study right now that should be coming out here. I believe it's October that it'll be released with their findings. I'm not really privy to where they're at on that right now, but you know, you hear one camp saying, well, it hasn't been able to stand on its own 2 feet for the last 4 or 5 years, whatever. Well, if something's not working, you try something different. That's a tough one to call, but I believe it's worth giving a shot.
I would think anything that could be economically positive
mm-hmm.
should get at least given enough seed money to mm-hmm. see, you know, throw up a couple markers along the way to know that it's penciling out. I mean, mm-hmm. you're just not throwing money to throw money around and take a shot and see what happens. I mean, if it hits, it hits. If it doesn't hit, hey, we tried. Let's move on to another area. It would just seem to be the logical thing to do. Do you have that sense that the supervisors are taking that, well, let's take a shot, kind of an attitude?
I can say that I know two are. I don't know
well,
that
gets you
everybody's
close enough
on
to lose, doesn't
yeah, yeah,
it?
Yeah, right. At least puts us in the game. I do believe it is. It's better than trying to repeat, you know, history over and over again.
Penn Air. Speaking of
sure.
repeating.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Air West, you know, the mm-hmm. banana. Wasn't that mm-hmm. the?
He was Air West.
The mm-hmm. last regular back when there were subsidies and things like that in play.
Mm-hmm.
United's still there, but the number two slot has rotated pretty significantly over mm-hmm. the past 20 years or so. Is there a market for a second air carrier?
Yes. Yes, definitely. You know, there's some good news on that, and some varied opinions, if you would. One of the big aspects of that second airline is servicing the north. You know, Portland's a good hub. Seattle's a great hub to get out of. to be able to get out of the West Coast, you know, to
the east. Avoid San Francisco.
Exactly.
I mean, period.
But you can't do it by getting there middle of the afternoon or what, because all the connections are gone. That needs to be an early morning flight. That needs to be an early...
The 6 a.m. like United.
Yeah, you need to be sitting, you know, in Portland or, you know, Seattle by that time to catch, to get to the East Coast, Midwest, excuse me, wherever. So I think that's going to be the key. Pan Air, they came in, they did a, you know, good job while they were here. But again, they were, you know, you left at 10 o'clock and by the time you get to Portland, you know, that's gone. You know, they had their own issues. But I believe with that, you're going to have other people feel that they, or other airlines, if you would, feel now that they can approach us that may have had, you know, dealings with Pan Air or loyalties to Pan Air. So I think you'll see some action.
The Pan Air guys were good guys, right?
Yep. Very much so.
So there is a little bit of chivalry in airline.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You don't see it in some niches.
True.
KINS, News and Information Times, 841.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tim Callison. In this half of the program, we're talking about the Airport Advisory Committee and some of the things that are going on there. Tim, when you stack up the major West Coast airports, I guess San Diego's never mentioned, even though with the military. Mm-hmm. You got L.A., you got San Francisco, Oakland, Sacramento, Portland, and Seattle. Is there a ranking? Do you guys know... Obviously, San Francisco's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Of the others, is it destinations? Is it connections? Is it facilities? What is it that makes something happen for that number two carrier?
You know, I believe that it's, you know, it's all driven by, you know, the economic factor of it is being able to fill the seats. Each airline has its own... forte, if you would, you know, take a look at, you know, Southwest, JetBlue, you know, they're all headed out of Oakland and they head out of there. So that makes, for what they do and where they're at in that market, that makes the perfect sense for them. You know, you've got the other carriers that are in, you know, San Francisco, you know, we're talking specifically about the Bay Area, you know, they have their infrastructure set up there. So it's, I don't know if you're going to say one, two, does one get more notoriety than the other? Oh, you bet. You know,
is it how Arcata would dovetail into the other schedules that is going to be who would be interested and who might come here?
That's all interconnected. Yeah. They're, you know, on how they can, you know, marry, let's say, that early morning flight or the last flight in. You know, it's the logistics side of it.
With the guarantees that have been offered and produced over the years,
mm-hmm.
why do these guys pull out if they got the guarantee? I mean, when it's penciled through, okay, it looks to me like they got to be making enough money to make it viable for them. If they got one person and the guarantee covers the big spread, or if they're one person short, and the spread is covered, what diff?
Well, I believe a lot of those subsidies were, and I can't remember what date it was, but some of those were, you know, basically canceled. There were...
Oh, the whole Fly Humboldt thing?
Well, no, not necessarily the Fly Humboldt.
Oh, you're talking about some of the other...
But just, you know, the subsidies of flying into rural areas. You know,
the federal stuff.
Yeah, the federal stuff. So, you know, Eureka, everybody thought that Eureka, I think at one point we did, but we don't because our area is too big, so they don't qualify for it. I believe Crescent City still does.
Yeah, I think that's why Pan Air's still there.
There, yeah. And you know, the pilot shortages are playing a big role
Why is that?
Well, you had...
Why is there a shortage?
Why is there a shortage? Because you had, for many years, basically pilots, they'd fly for free almost, if you would. And there was abundance of them. But it got stagnant. And they did other things. Now, it wasn't a very viable way. It was difficult to move up. And now it's not because they have a mandatory retirement of 65. And the feds actually moved that up to from 60 to 65 about 5 years ago. Well, it's 5 years later now, and they're all retiring, and they can't keep up with the pace.
There are just not that many coming through pilot school or not that many out of the military?
I think it's a combination of both. A lot of it's just, as a career choice as a young person. You know, it wasn't very viable then. But now it is. It's a great time to be in aviation.
Boy, if only I could fit in the cockpit. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.